Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, and I'm in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, and I'm with a very familiar voice. It's the voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, who steps in to talk us through the final six games of the Vikings season coming up. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Decent.
With six games to go, I've written down six goals for the Vikings to accomplish this season, and I want you to comment on each one.
I'd love to.
Okay, here we go. Number one goal for the final six games is develop Teddy Bridgewater.
I think that's the number one goal of the entire team. You know, when you have a head coach who is a defensive-minded coach and your defense comes into the Bears game fourth in the NFL in passing defense and third in sacks, off that stuff we saw last year, it's working defensively, and it still needs to get better, and it will, and they probably still need some more personnel changes, but that defense jumped up big time. Offensively speaking, we have regressed, and there are things that play into it, including not having Adrian Peterson around the majority of the year or just one game, but this rookie quarterback has so many good qualities to him, and when you watch it back critically, you see the natural leadership skills and the scholar of the game aspect that he has that you can't teach. I mean, you can teach guys to find guys open, have a nice big arm and everything, but some of the things Bridgewater does, you can't teach. And you need to perfect that and get him more confident, come back next year, have a better quarterback.
All right, now, to develop Teddy, things have to happen around him for him to look good. But he can't control those things, the pass protection, receivers getting open, some of those things he can't control.
I agree.
So how do you factor that in to seeing him, wanting him to develop and then to assess that development
right,
if things aren't going right around him?
Well, see, Wobby, I don't think it's fair to give him a grade at the end of the year. I mean, we will do it because the public will want it. But without the – I don't think this offensive line we see now necessarily will be what we see next year. I mean, you have a starter out at right guard. If Fusco comes back, he might win back his job. You should have Rudolph for more games. Who knows who the tailback's going to be? Who knows what they're going to do in the draft?
Right.
One thing you do know is that your quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, has faced a fair amount of adversity this year and never has complained about it. In the Redskins game, he overshot Jennings and Patterson. They both should have been touchdowns. Never complained about it. Fought back and won the game. Again, that's stuff with Bridgewater that you can't teach, and we have it.
All right, number two, goal number two for the final six games of the regular season, Cordarrelle Patterson progressing. Just like we want to establish and progress Teddy Bridgewater, I think we want to do the same with Cordarrelle Patterson. Granted, no Adrian Peterson for most of the season. That has probably hurt our plans with Cordarrelle, and we've had to adjust on the fly there.
Yep.
But certainly he's a guy who, going into his third season next year, we're going to want to see marked improvement from him. Now, in defense of him, this is his third different offense in three seasons. So we got to cut him a little bit of slack there. But don't you think we want to see a big step forward from 84?
Wobby, this is the time last year that he took off.
Yeah.
With all due respect to one of my favorite guys on the team, I am not counting on him taking off this year. I am predicting at the end of the year, from my standpoint, I'm going to have to draw lines with the whole thing and forget about this season with Cordarrelle Patterson, see who the tailback is next year, and see what his second year in Norv Turner's offense looks like with a second-year quarterback.
Okay.
I completely agree with you on the Adrian Peterson take. With all due respect to McKinnon, Asiata, and everybody else, I feel when you have a home run hitter like Peterson, the defense has to focus on it differently than
right,
the cast we have now.
But I don't want to draw a line through the season here, especially the final six games. I want him to work on things and do things to get better, and I want Norv and company to figure out how to use them.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I'm just making a prognostication that I don't think this current group is capable of getting out of Cordarrelle Patterson what we got last year when the season lost its playoff probability. People played a little more loosely. You had a 9-10-year veteran at quarterback, and you had Adrian Peterson. I think those threats are gone. It's about raising Teddy Bridgewater, making this defense better, coming back next year, and having to be exponentially better than it is now.
All right, goal number three for the final six games of the regular season, Anthony Barr, get him to be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I still think he may be leading that. It's, you know, he had his worst game of the year at Chicago, in my opinion, with several missed tackles, and he never really splashed. On the Jay Cutler long touchdown pass to Brandon Marshall,
yeah,
Barr was an inch from sacking him and drove him into the turf. Anthony was close on a lot of plays in what you can deem his worst game of the year. He's unbelievably good. If he doesn't win Defensive Rookie of the Year, I'm still super happy he's on the Minnesota Vikings. But I still think he's kind of in the lead for that. C.J. Mosley, Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, Aaron Donald all of a sudden has four sacks for the St. Louis Rams.
Yep.
And they beat Seattle and they beat Denver, and he's starting to play a lot. So you're going to have a 5 or 6 horse race to the wire. Barr has plenty of time to win that race, and honestly, I think he will.
All right, I'm glad you brought up a horse racing reference, because I have another one to bring to you. Mm-hmm. You call races at Canterbury. Let's win a game gate to wire.
Yeah.
We have Teddy Bridgewater, who is 3-3 as a starter. All three wins are come from behind wins. Now, we started out in the lead against Atlanta, gave up the lead, had to come back. Let's win a game gate to wire.
Yeah, and how about winning the Packers game gate to wire?
Okay.
I mean, long shots have won at the Breeders' Cup, long shots have won at Canterbury Park. It would be a long shot
sure. To
grab a lead on Aaron Rodgers and never look back. But it's a divisional game. So scoring a touchdown first on Green Bay, it's not like it's never happened in the history of the world.
Right.
Everybody wants to look back at the last two games and say, well, 98 Vikings, forget about you. Kurt Warner's Rams, forget about you. Undefeated Patriots until the end, forget about you, because they've scored 50 in consecutive games.
Right.
At home, later games, a lot of things went in their favor. Score a touchdown on them, get them to go 3 and out. Score another touchdown, open up 14-0.
Here we go. Now we're going.
People listening to the Wobcast at Vikings.com right now may say, okay, well, that means you'll only lose 28-14.
Right.
Okay, whatever. At least put a little stress on this green and gold. Try to get our team to go gate to wire.
Right. All right, let's go. Let's dig a little bit deeper for goal number five.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about special teams, which, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. Since Mike Prefer has been here, our special teams have been some of the best in the NFL, whether you're talking about Cordarrelle Patterson and Marcus Sherrills last year and the punt returns that they had, and Blair Walsh performing the way he has. I want to look at our punt team over the final six games. I want to get better at pinning teams inside the 20, inside the 10. I want the net punting to go up. I want Jeff Locke, to me, has a lot of talent, and I think he's still trying to feel his way through to be an NFL punter. But I see a guy with a lot of talent and a guy that I believe in. And over the last six games, I'd like to see Jeff Locke and the whole punt team start to solidify a little bit.
That's an excellent take. I mean, it's an under-the-radar take that has impacted games. And I like Jeff a lot. I don't think he's had a very good season. And I think he would say the same thing. He had a touchback at the end of the Buffalo game that, with all due respect, was completely unacceptable. Followed it up with three touchbacks at Tampa. I think the head coach let him know after the Tampa game that's unacceptable to have three touchbacks in a game, and he responded pretty well.
Yep.
The punting at Soldier Field's difficult for everybody. And he didn't have a great game. But you know what? It really didn't impact the game. It looked like it did after the punts. But, you know, with the Bears' field position, the time of possession in that game really dictated the game. I believe in Jeff Locke just like you. I think he has it in him. I think he needs to stop overthinking things. And I think he just needs to kick the hell out of the ball. And if he does that, maybe channel his inner Mike Cyphers or Shane Leckler.
I like it.
And just boot it. Let's just go.
Let's go. Sixth and final goal over the final six games of the season.
Yes, Michael.
Establish a winning culture. And the reason I think that's important, obviously you want to win every game you play, but a lot of people, when the playoffs get out of reach, they're starting to think about the draft. They want, hey, let's lose some games and get a better draft pick. And
yeah.
I think there's something to that. I don't think that's completely erroneous. But I think there's also something to be said for building up a winning culture, building up belief in a coaching staff, and teaching young players how to win. So I totally hear the people who want a better draft pick. If you can't make the playoffs, get a better draft pick. But I want to win games. I want these guys to feel what it feels like to win games and to be a part of a celebratory locker room. So we walk in there after a game and we're shaking people's hands,
yeah.
We're high-fiving, and we get excited for next season.
Well, the lose games for better draft picks is one of the laziest, stupidest things I ever hear year-round working at the Fan. Because guess what? With all due respect, I'm glad we beat Washington because I don't want RG3. I'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater. And we finished 5-10-1 and had the ninth pick and ended up with Anthony Barr.
Right.
There's not anybody in the draft, basically, that I would rather have at this stage than Anthony Barr. I completely love him. Sammy Watkins is fantastic, and of course I would take him. But even at the 9 spot, I'm happy with Anthony Barr. Establishing the winning culture when you have a new head coach, defensive coordinator, and offensive coordinator, I think is imperative heading into 2015. And you're here every day, and I'm here most days this week. And for us to bring you behind the scenes and show you these individuals working 80 to 100 hours a week to try to find ways to win games, if you look at the anguish on their face and the consternation on their countenance after they lose and when they work with a team that's losing more than it's winning, I think it'll change your mind. because these people take it so seriously and so personally and work so hard weekly to win one game.
Yep.
Think about them for a second and their job security and their families and how hard they work to win games. I hope we win the rest of the games, and I'll never root for the team to lose because of draft picks.
And you have the same work ethic, Paul, on behalf of all Vikings fans and the Vikings organization. We appreciate you and all the work that you do being voice of the Vikings.
Thanks, Wobbskoll.
All right. That's it for this week's edition of the Wobcast. Don't forget, you can catch PA Show 9 to noon on the Fan Radio Network, FM 100.3, 9 to noon on weekdays, and you can catch PA calling the Vikings game this week against the Packers with Pete Bursich and Greg Coleman all across the Vikings Radio Network. That game is Sunday at noon. Bye-bye.